So the epistle for the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Philippians chapter 1. Brethren, we are confident in the Lord Jesus that he who hath begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. As it is meet for me to think this for you all, for that I have you in my heart and that in my bands and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my joy. For God is my witness, how I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. In this I pray that your charity may more and more abound in knowledge and in understanding, that you may approve the better things, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of justice through Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 22. At that time, the Pharisees went and consulted amongst themselves how to ensnare Jesus in his speech. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art a true speaker and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou dost not regard the person of man. Tell us, therefore, what dost thou think? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their wickedness, said, Why do you tempt me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin of the tribute. And they offered him a penny. And Jesus said to them, Whose image and inscription is this? They say to him, Caesar's. Then he said to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Please be seated. Whose image and inscription is this? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. The gospel account gives to us this famous kind of talk between ones that are trying to ensnare our Lord Jesus Christ and our Lord. Our Lord being God, he knows all things, and so he knows what they were trying to do to him. And it's interesting to see at the very beginning of how they even, the Pharisees, want to see how can they ensnare him? How can they try to trap our Lord? And see how they phrase it to him. You know, basically, you don't care about the man himself. You're willing to be truthful. You are a true speaker. It is their way of trying to say these things to our Lord. One, maybe taking a jab at him, but he obviously doesn't have human respect. But then also trying to say, oh, well, you're very truthful. You'll tell us the honest truth. And so with this coin, you know, do we have to give tribute then to Caesar's? And so it's interesting to see how our Lord answers them back. Because he asked them the question, well, whose image and whose inscription is on it? And so then at their point, they have to be truthful and they have to say, well, it's Caesar's. And our Lord says, well, then fine. Render to Caesar's what is Caesar's. But then render to God what is God. And so for us, then we have to ask the question, what can we say is our duty? I mean, very clearly, I've talked to you before about the virtue of religion, our obligation, our duty that we owe to Almighty God, a rendering to God, you know, through the holy sacrifice of the Mass, but also through other things. You know, our duty of state being one. Our duty of state is one of the best ways we can give back to God. Because why? God is the one that has established what our duty of state is. Whether he has called someone to the religious life, whether to the married state, or even being single, that is our duty at that time. And so therefore, we owe that back to Almighty God. But then how often many of us, because we see maybe either the corruption or we see the damage that is being done by sometimes authority, well, then we feel justified that we don't have to render anything to them. Because we can justify our actions by saying, well, they're corrupt or they're going to use it poorly or different things, and so therefore I don't have to give anything to them. And we have to say that is a wrong way of thinking. Obviously, we don't support things that are against God's laws. But because they misuse things, it doesn't justify for us to say that we don't have to give anything to them. Our Lord has clearly shown that in sacred scripture. One, at this point, render to Caesar's what is to Caesar. But then we also think of the census tax. Or when St. Peter asks our Lord, you know, basically, do we have to give to that? And it's interesting to see how our Lord answers him. Basically, would it be a scandal if we did not? Would it be scandalous if we were not to give to that? And so then our Lord works a miracle. The fish comes up, has the census tax in it, and they pay their census tax. And so there is an obligation that we have. As I say again, you know, granted, we don't support things that we know to be bad. But because officials or different people, they misuse things, doesn't give us the justification for that. We have to render to Caesar what is Caesar's. Fine. As I say, we are not directly supporting these things. Because we have to be careful of that. Again, we see in sacred scripture where you see St. Paul, where they question him on things, and he says something back, and they said, do you talk to the high priest that way? And he said, if I would have known it was the high priest, I would have never have said anything. And so he is showing then, at that point, the respect at least for the authority, for the office that they hold. And that is what we must try to understand. In authority, we have to show that respect for what the authority comes from. It comes from God. And so therefore, we must show the respect to that because we are respecting Almighty God. And God has granted, God has given them that authority. As I say, maybe they're misusing it. That is going to be something they will have to render to Almighty God themselves, not us. And so therefore, we have to show that. Because in a way, then, we're denying the authority that they have been given. And so we still have that obligation to pay our taxes, to do different things that are asked of us. As I say, it is not ours to judge and to see, well, do I want to pay this? Do I not want to pay this? It is not ours to do so. It is not our place to question that. And so that is why then we must understand when our Lord is giving us this, we have a duty and an obligation. We have a duty to respect the authority that have been rightfully been placed in that position. I mean, granted, we can ask the question of why do these people have this authority? Well, in some ways, we see with modern society, we get what we deserve. Society in general has turned its back on Almighty God, and so no wonder then sometimes the officials also have turned their back on God. And so what does that ask from us? That asks that we must pray and sacrifice and to pray for these officials. I mean, that is the obligation that we have. And so, yes, we have an obligation then to render to them. What is just, what is asked of us, fine. But again, I say, I have to caution and say we have to be careful of what we consider to be just or what we consider, well, I'm not going to pay that or I'm not going to do that. It is not ours to question that. As I say, we are not directly supporting these type things if they are misused. We will not be held accountable for that. But then all the more so when we see the obligation that we have to God. I mean, obviously the world owes reverence and honor to Almighty God, to render to God what is God's. And all the more so do we have that obligation, because we fully understand what is the virtue of religion, or at least we should. We should understand where that what God is calling us to. And so for us, we owe this to Almighty God. And that is what God is asking from us. To render him the proper reverence and honor that he deserves. And as I say, one of the best means then is our duty of state. Because God is the one that has given it to us. God has directed us to that duty of state. And so therefore, the best way we can give back to God is by doing it faithfully. And so as a religious say, we consecrate ourselves to Almighty God. And so therefore, we have certain responsibilities, certain obligations that we must perform. The praying of the breviary. Of having a spiritual life in order to give to the faithful a spiritual life. And so therefore, we must too be faithful to that. And by being faithful to that, well then hopefully that will help the faithful to be faithful to their duty. To see the importance of the spiritual life. To set that example for them. And then for you parents, to set that example for your children. Of showing to them what is the responsibilities of a husband and wife, of a father and a mother. And being faithful in your duties that God is calling you to. Because I think for all of us, sometimes there is the temptation to get caught up in things that are really not our duty, but maybe we enjoy them more. And then we neglect our duty of state. And by neglecting that, then we're neglecting what God is asking from us. It was one of the things, just as an example to you, in Europe, sometimes there was such a thing as called the worker priest. But the idea was that they would go out and work some and try to help the people in the working fields. But then all of a sudden the temptation became that they lost sight of, first and foremost, who they were. They were a priest. And so sometimes that would drag them away from their duty of state. How easy it is for any of us to get caught up in something that is not quite our duty. And then we neglect the things that God is asking from us. And maybe in some ways we see it as, well, those are just trivial things. Those are just kind of day-by-day things. But that is how God will also sanctify our soul. Through the ordinary things. Very rarely is God going to call us to the extraordinary things. But he wants us to sanctify ourselves through the ordinary, everyday things. And that is our duty of state. And by being faithful to that, we may think this is just trivial, this is just nothing. But by being faithful to that, that is how we will sanctify our soul. And that is something that St. Teresa of Lisieux, with her little way, illustrates to us. And so as I say, sometimes we get this false idea that we have to do the extraordinary things, that the trivial things don't really matter, or it's no big deal if I neglect them for a while. But that isn't true. If God has given you a duty of state, a calling in life, married, single, religious, that is how he wants you to sanctify yourself. Is through those means. And so with the vocation, that is how God wants you to understand. That is where you will become holy. So as I say, it's very easy for us just to neglect these type things because we think that they're just so mundane. But that is what our Lord is saying in this, to render to God what is God's. To be able to offer these things to Almighty God and to do them well. Because when you have priests that are faithful to their vocation, you will have a parish that will grow spiritually. When you have parents that are faithful to their vocation, you will have holy families. And then even in that sense, the children will grow in sanctity when they are faithful to their duty of state. And so that is why we must see. It is something that it seems simple enough. And maybe that is why we like think, well, that can't be the way. You know, the path to sanctity has to be some impossible thing. No, God is calling us to sanctity. And so he's calling us in, yes, the simplicity of following your duty of state. Granted, with all our duty of states, we will have crosses and trials that don't necessarily make it that simple at times. I understand that. But we also have to see that instead of trying to find all these other paths, it is almost like we're blinded to the one path that God is trying to illustrate to us. And we keep looking for other things. And so I say with this gospel account, I think it shows to us, you know, render to God what is God's. God has given us our duty of state. God has given us our duty in life. Why not take these opportunities to try to sanctify your family that way, to sanctify your own soul? And as I say, if all of us are faithful to our calling, our vocation in life, there will be sanctity. There will be the sanctity that is necessary for the parish to grow in sanctity if everyone is trying to do their best in their duty of state. So I encourage you to try to pray and to think about that, to meditate even upon, what duties do I have? In some ways, that is why when we have the Men's Day of Recollection, the Woman's Day of Recollection, the Marriage Day of Recollection, it is to help us to think about these things. And I'd like to do those again. Because it gives us an opportunity to think about what is God calling us to. And that is even why in school we even do that with the children. We have days of recollection for them. Especially the older ones as they get older. To think about what are they doing. And I think if we take that time to consider, that it will help us to be more faithful to that. It'll help us to be faithful to what God is calling us to. Because God is calling every single one of us to sanctity. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, as he said in the Sermon on the Mount. And so the calling is there for all of us. It is whether we answer that call or not. And so pray for these graces. Beseech God for the graces to help you to be faithful. Because I think that's also sometimes what we lack, is praying to God for these graces. And by doing so, then God will find us faithful at the end of our life. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.